about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
And
you don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. If you got a small brain, the only stuff you value is the stuff that evolution programmed into you to value.
Yeah.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, value and the brain.
There are many things in human existence that are valued by human beings that no one has to learn to value, right? There are all kinds of things that, like food and a safe place to sleep and companionship, and these are all things that no one has to teach anybody to want or to value. But there are a lot of other things in life that we learn to value because they become associated with other things, right, that are more fundamental. And it's interesting how growing up in a community of human beings who, you know, live relatively similar existences, we end up with different kinds of values about what's really important to us and what's not. And how that happens is sort of fascinating. Yeah. Well, it's not sort of, it is fascinating. Yeah. Because it's not linear. It's not attributable to specific causes. But yet we grow up in environments and some things start to take on value to us and other things don't.
Yeah. And that's the coolest thing about having a big brain. Because if you got a small brain, the only stuff you value is the stuff that evolution programmed into you to value.
Yeah.
And what human beings are able to do is to throw some brain in between the action and the motivation.
Yeah.
So that we can then create all sorts of systems of value that are not directly tied to the kinds of basic evolutionary needs that we may have as a species.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic.
I mean, and all those basic things that Art was mentioning are things that had a clear purpose in that they increased the likelihood that our genes would be passed on to future
right.
generations, right? But there are all kinds of things that we value now that serve no such function, right?
Like take gold.
Yeah.
I love gold as an example.
It's a perfect example.
Because here's this metal, and it's a cool metal, right? It doesn't rust. It's easy to work with. It's pretty. It's rare, but not too rare. You know, it's got a lot of nice qualities to it. And then we have just given it this status as an incredibly important and valuable substance for no particular reason. That is, there's nothing inherent about gold that makes it valuable, except that somehow as a species, human beings have just decided this thing is valuable and I am willing to trade it for other things of value that are sources of food, clothing, shelter, power, social interaction,
yeah.
and all kinds of
yeah.
other things.
And, you know, you can even extend this idea to the pieces of paper we all carry around in our wallets. Right?
And increasingly don't carry around in our wallets.
Exactly.
If I may. Back in the day, back 1977, Star Wars came out, and there's this scene in Star Wars where they start talking about the Republic credits, right? And at the time, you're like, what? They're paying for this with numbers? That's crazy. Fast forward 40 years, and we live in the age of the Republic credit. We don't exchange anything anymore except concepts.
Concepts,
yeah. And that's what's amazing now. It's not currency systems. It's that we live in an age in which our entire currency system is virtual. You get paid in numbers that end up in your bank account. You spend using a card that moves those numbers around. If you have a credit card, you pay for that by sending a transfer of those numbers from one account to another. There's nothing there except for a general delusion that we're all working under the same system.
But I want to extend this beyond just the idea
yeah.
of currency,
oh, yeah.
right? Because there, you know, it's an interesting thing for people who like to read, right? Who like to be able to pick up a book, follow a story or learn something new or whatever it happens to be that has no utilitarian application in the moment. The fact that that's something that somebody would come to care about, right? That it brings satisfaction. You know, to be able to engage with a good book or a poem or something else that sort of engages our mind in a way that really doesn't have any function except the fact that it is pleasing, right? That's an interesting thing to see. Mm. And you know, we are now able to construct environments for ourselves. Again, the extent to which is dependent on our level of privilege in our society. But to some extent, every one of us can construct environments for ourselves that now we come to value.
We talked at the beginning about how, okay, so you know, there are certain things we value because they are crucial for survival. Another layer is there are things that are valuable because they allow us to do something that we wouldn't be able to do without that object, person,
whatever
resource. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there are things that are valuable because they allow us to think in a particular way or feel a particular way or engage the world in a particular way outside of the context of actually accomplishing something.
Yeah.
But I think appreciation is a different thing. In other words, I think there are a lot of sources of value. Some of those sources of value are something is useful for me for the survival of me and my species. Some of them are valuable because they are useful to allow me to accomplish some goal in my life. And some things are valuable because they just make me feel good. And those are all sources of value. And it's not worth putting a different label on one or another of those in the sense that I think psychologically we end up treating all of those in the same way. And I think the concept of appreciation really has much more to do with a feeling you have when you contemplate the absence of something.
Next week, we'll talk about the psychology of popularity with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. You can subscribe to the podcast of Two Guys on Your Head on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud, and leave us a review while you're there. We'd love to know what you think of the show. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.